want to take a look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, whose season is now in the books, guys. And it went six games with the Washington Capitals. And if Leaf Nation was still, for whatever reason, hesitant to jump on the bandwagon through the course of the regular season, despite Austin Matthews getting the 40 goals and Mitch Marner and William Nylander also having the great season, man, is Leaf Nation ever on board now. Like, you take the Caps to six games, five of them go to overtime, and every game is a one-goal game. That's one way to get people a lot of it, really excited about the rebuild kind of being over, and now we're ready to contend each and every season.
What people, I think, forget is that back in October, fully 3-4 weeks into the season, it was hard to tell if this was a tank season or not. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they were second last in the Eastern Conference and, you know, going sideways with a lot of young players. And you're wondering, is this really a good idea or not? So it's been pretty exciting. Although it was six playoff games against Washington, it sort of felt like there were about 16 playoff games coming down the stretch as well. I remember I went with the team on their Florida road swing when they famously went down in flames in Fort Lauderdale.
The boat trip,
which I guess they've lived down at this point. But when they lost to Florida, the outfits that were posting odds of them making the playoffs had them in the 40s. You know, so they were way down at the start of the season, and they were a fair ways down coming in the stretch, in March. So it was a great run that they got on, and there was plenty of excitement there even before the playoffs.
Yeah, and that run through March was kind of incredible. I think they had 11 wins in 14 before that final week of the season was treacherous with five games in seven nights, and they barely hung on to take it into the postseason, and they faced the Washington Capitals. And you know, I was asking this question throughout the playoff series, whether or not we undersold the Leafs or if we had overrated the Caps. And to me, it was, and I think we learned, at least for me, again, that we undersold the Leafs the entire time. We undersold the decor and how good it could be. And Riley and Gardner certainly showed up in the playoffs, and Freddie Anderson showed up. And certainly we know their forwards were good. And then again, Austin Matthews, for my money, was the best player in that series, and he certainly can be a trump card for the Leafs going forward.
Yeah, definitely. It's you have to think that they've gotten the learning experiences out of the way now. They've gotten their feet wet, and it's definitely exciting for the future. But just, you know, hindsight being 2020, you kind of wonder, should they have done more at the deadline, more than just Brian Boyle?
I think they were pretty happy with what they did, and it wasn't a drastic move. It didn't cost a whole lot when you consider the depth of draft picks they still have. I think they still have a second round pick, even though they traded away two of them. But they're still fine in that sense. And Boyle was kind of the one piece that, you know, if you're not going to spend big and find a defenseman, which isn't necessarily available at the trade deadline or really ever, then that was kind of the one piece that they needed, something to shore up their fourth line where you were starting Ben Smith every night. And that clearly wasn't working. And I think that was something that certainly helped this team get into the postseason down the stretch. But more than anything, I think the reason to be excited is the three kids, Marner, Nylander, and certainly Matthews. These are three players on entry-level deals over the next couple of years that you can build around and utilize the salary cap to a point where you could kind of stack your pieces around them as best you possibly can for the next 2 years and hope good things happen down the line, a la the Chicago Blackhawks and other teams through the salary cap era.
What I would say is that of the three big rookies, I thought Marner got a little worn down in the series against the Caps and almost ended up getting broken on body check. But, you know, That said, I mean, Marner's, what, 170 pounds, and he's going to fill out. And if it was going to happen to anybody, it was probably him. But I do think he was a little less effective as the play, as the six games wore on. And, you know, on the flip side, I thought Matthews' game came around the deeper they went in,
yeah,
in the series. Looking back on it, the one thing that I wondered about in watching, you know, especially that series and the last week or so of the season, like, why was Kasperi Kapanen down with the Marlies?
With the Marlies, yeah.
Yeah, I would think that based on what he was doing, you could flip him and Connor Brown in a second.
Yeah.
And he brought... Kapanen brings an element of speed and, although smallish, still a degree of physicality that they just had nothing of up front in anyone with skill. Like, let's throw Matt Martin and Boyle out of the equation. Like, he brought a lot of speed to the forecheck. He was, you know, he was a disruptor. And I think that he could have played more this season and should have. And it makes you wonder, like, where in the mix. I know you think that you can't deal one of those three guys for defense help that's desperately needed. But maybe Kapanen changes that equation a bit.
I think you look at the Marlies, and they just advanced to the second round yesterday, beating the Albany Devils, and they're through, and there's still a whole depth of talent. And I think Kapanen's back down there with the Marlies and getting some playoff run.
He got knocked out of the game.
He got hurt last night. So he is clearly too good for the AHL at this point. But yes, he did get hurt. And I think there is a lot of forward depth on this team. But when I think about finding defense help, I would do everything possible, at least while Nylander, Marner, and Matthews, I mean, you're not trading Matthews for sure, but I would do everything possible to keep those guys at least until their entry-level deals are up, and I would try to keep them forever, if you could, as Maple Leafs, just because they are, I think, that good, and to have that depth of scoring is kind of where the NHL, I think, is going in a sense, and you're seeing more teams employ four scoring lines rather than checking lines towards the back end of their forward group. I'd like that idea, but you do have to get forward help. I don't know how it comes, but I think at least as long as they're on their entry-level deals and you can exploit the salary cap, you got to keep all three. And that's what Lou Lamoriello's for, I guess.
Well, there was the hue and cry in January or so, or leading up to the deadline, that of the three, the expendable one was, you know, if you were going to make a deal, and, you know, gun to your head, and obviously Matthews is off the table, and so you're talking about, is it Marner, is it Nylander? I think everyone pointed to Nylander.
And I don't know if that's the same today, though.
he was their best player the last 2 weeks of the season. I don't even think it was particularly close. And so, you know, if you're now look at it two ways, right? If you think that that's real, then you're not doing anything. If you don't think that that's sustainable, then you're saying, okay, we're trading him at peak value.
Yeah, and he had a great playoff series as well. There was a couple of games, and really that line towards the back end of that series was the thing that was giving Washington the most fits. They just could not stop them, and whenever they were on the ice, they were clearly the most dangerous Leaf line in Matthews and Nylander, and to have those guys together for the next couple of years is very intriguing. And one of the things that came out of Mike Babcock's postseason news conference was talking about Nylander and the idea of not moving him to center just yet. And I wonder what that means in the grand scheme for this team. Is that a sign that they maybe want to keep Tyler Bozak for one more year and let him run out the rest of his contract? Because to me, those two guys, JVR and Bozak, they're kind of the two biggest storylines of the offseason. What happens with them? Are they more valuable to you on the team and possibly losing them for nothing while you try to get a little bit closer to being a Stanley Cup contender? Or are they more valuable in something you can bring back in trade?
Now, Bozak is coming off a career year, right? So, yeah, you wonder if what he can bring back. But some going into next season, it's kind of that saying, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. You get rid of Bozak, you still have to replace him. You get rid of JVR, you still got to find replacements if you hope to contend next year.
Right. And Bozak, I think part of the reason he was so good this year is just, I mean, certainly playing with Mitch Marner all season long helped him out, and also playing on the top power play unit helped him out. But you didn't notice him as much because he was kind of their third line center behind Matthews and Kadri. And to me, that's the old talk was, well, you have Bozak, but he's not a number one center. And now you kind of saw him really fit into the role of being your team's number three center. So he was properly slated kind of for the first time in his career.
Yeah, the first, second, and third line construct sort of goes out the window when you would look at this team. You know, you would ostensibly say that that Matthews is your first line center.
Yeah.
But most of the time he wasn't the first power play.
Right.
You know, so like who's first, who's second, who's third? You know, your most effective defensive center is Kadri. Is he a third liner? Like, I don't know. I mean, the designations you can throw out the window, and it comes down to matchups more than anything. You know, if there was a face-off to win, you have Bozak out there. In another situation, maybe Boyle. I couldn't have imagined that, you know, at the start of this season, we'd be sitting here talking about, you know, what are we going to do with Tyler Bozak? I would have thought we would be speaking purely in past tense about him.
Right.
You know, and he is one of the quirks in this season, in that he was perceived to have been one of those guys that was a not a problem child, but he was perceived to be what was wrong with this franchise, you know, over the last five seasons. And somehow he shed that. And, you know, like he exceeded all expectations, you know, played hurt. I don't think he practiced from February on, you know,
right.
He deserves a lot of credit. Now, whether you tie your wagon to him is something where you're going to have to look down in your system and say, you know, how long do we need him to hold down a position before someone in development is going to step in? And I don't know what the market for him would be out there. It's so hard to project at this point.
Yeah, and he can be a bit of a matchup liability too defensively. And I think that's one of the areas that Washington tried to exploit in that series is that line of JVR, Bozak, and Marner, who even Marner, we saw his play sag through the playoffs as well, as previously mentioned. So, you know, to me, it's hard because, you know, you take it back to the Larson for Hall trade. I mean, if that's what Taylor Hall is going to get you, like, what kind of defenseman is JVR going to get you, or Bozak? Like, I don't know. It's not enough. It's not the type of thing that's really going to put this decor over the top. Certainly, you know, I think Riley and Gardner both kind of had their coming out parties in the playoffs a little bit. Maybe you don't want to hit your wagon too much to that, but certainly for Riley, more than Gardner, who I think in the overall was the Leafs' best defenseman through the season, Riley struggled through the year, but in the playoffs he really showed up, and to me that's something that's a big positive for the Leafs going forward.